Live from the Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. On today's show, Orange County legislators took a clear stand last night, unanimously passing a resolution opposing that proposed ICE detention facility in the village of Chester. The vote came as hundreds of residents from Orange, Sullivan, and Ulster counties packed the legislative chambers to protest the plan. Radio Catskill's Kimberly Izar was there and has more. Dan Hoos from Sullivan County Government is here with updates from Monticello, including expanded warming center hours due to the extreme cold and more details on that energy affordability program. Plus, the latest edition of Curtain Call, our theater podcast, and winter isn't slowing things down at Headwaters Art Center. Culture reporter Valerie Banzi walks us through what's ahead after this hour's news from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Corva Coleman. A lawyer for the family of a 5-year-old boy in Minnesota says the federal government is seeking to deport them, according to Minnesota Public Radio. Last weekend, a federal judge forced immigration officials to free 5-year-old Liam Conejo Ramos and his father from an ICE detention center in Texas. The family's lawyer says a new hearing is scheduled for today, and the lawyer says the family is legally in the U.S. and has claimed asylum. A federal judge in Boston has blocked a data-sharing agreement between the Internal Revenue Service and federal immigration officials. NPR's Jude Joffe Block reports this is the second time a federal judge has ruled against efforts to use IRS data to find and deport people.
Last August, the IRS shared the addresses of 47,000 non-citizens with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. But a federal judge in D.C. found last year that data exchange was unlawful. Now a second federal judge, this one in Boston, has blocked ICE and the Department of Homeland Security from inspecting or using that data and has paused the data sharing agreement while the case goes forward. The judge cited taxpayer privacy laws and also raised concerns about immigration agents misidentifying people and wrongfully arresting them at their homes. A DHS spokesperson told NPR the agency disagreed with the ruling and said the government is, quote, sharing information across the federal government to solve problems. Jude Joffe Block, NPR News.
Indirect talks between the U.S. and Iran have concluded in Oman. Iran's foreign minister says these were a, quote, good start. It's not clear when they might resume. The Trump administration is pressing Iran over its nuclear program, ballistic missiles, and support for militants in the Mideast. President Trump is also deploying U.S. military strength in the region. President Trump will travel to Florida today. He's scheduled to meet the new president of Honduras there tomorrow. Trump supported conservative candidate Nasri Asfura in last year's Honduran presidential election. Asfura won by less than 1% of the vote. Stocks opened higher this morning after a big sell-off yesterday. NPR Scott Horsley reports the Dow Jones Industrials are up 760 points.
Investors who were skeptical about all the money Google's parent company spending on artificial intelligence have similar questions about the payoff from Amazon's big AI investment. The online retailer and cloud computing giant says it plans to spend $200 billion on capital investments this year. Amazon shares opened lower. The price of Bitcoin has rebounded somewhat after a steep drop on Thursday. At one point, the volatile cryptocurrency had lost more than half its value from its record high last October. Toyota is making what it calls a gear shift, promoting its chief financial officer to CEO in April. Toyota's global sales were up last year, but U.S. tariffs put a big dent in the company's profits. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
You're listening to NPR. New federal data show that most of the western United States is now in the grip of its warmest, driest winter in decades. NPR's Kirk Siegler reports the worsening drought is prompting environmental and economic concerns.
The western states that are in the worst shape are Colorado, Utah, and Oregon. According to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, statewide snowpack there is only about 50% of average, and that's only at high altitudes. Some ski areas have closed prematurely, but in the west, where the snowpack acts as the main water storage reservoir, cities and farmers are even more on edge. If things don't turn around, especially at lower altitudes, NOAA says the wildfire risk will be even more severe going into spring. Climate scientists point to a warm weather blob stuck in the Pacific Ocean, possibly related to rapid melting in the Arctic, that's caused it to be unseasonably warm from Montana to California for weeks now. Kirk Siegler, NPR News, Los Angeles.
Singer Lamont McLemore has died in Las Vegas, according to his family representative. McLemore was a founding member of the Grammy-winning group The Fifth Dimension. They had several hits, including Aquarius, Let the Sunshine In.
This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius, age of Aquarius.
Lamont McLemore was 90 years old. He had suffered a stroke. McLemore had also served in the U.S. Navy. He was also known as a skilled photographer. I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the estate of Joan B. Kroc, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio and seeks to help NPR be the model for high-quality journalism in the 21st century. This is NPR.
Welcome back to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Thanks for joining us. We've been telling you about that Orange County proposed ICE facility. Well, an update last night, the Orange County Legislature unanimously passed a resolution last night against that facility in the village of Chester. Hundreds of residents from across the Hudson Valley, including Orange, Sullivan, and Ulster counties, showed up to protest the facility. Radio Catskill's Kimberly Izar was at the county legislative meeting and has this report.
All 21 Orange County legislators voted yes on Thursday night on a resolution to oppose building an ICE facility in Chester or anywhere in the county.
Yes. Sunderland?
Yes.
Tobin?
Aye.
Tui?
Yes.
Turnbull?
Yes.
Totel?
Yes.
21 ayes.
The Trump administration plans to build 23 new ICE facilities, according to an investigation by the Washington Post. More than 250 people turned out to an Orange County legislative meeting on Thursday to oppose the plans. Dozens of people made public comments for nearly 2.5 hours, urging the legislature to oppose the proposed facility located at the former Pep Boys warehouse. Only one person spoke in strong support of President Trump's mass immigration raids.
They zip-tied U.S. citizens and U.S. children on the street in pajamas by unmasked men in the night with guns drawn. When did that become acceptable to zip-tie children?
I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if you're a Republican. You all have a duty. You swore an oath.
I urge you, the legislators, and the people within this room to also demand that County Executive Newhouse have the guts to oppose this facility, not just for his rhetoric of a lack of infrastructure capabilities, but he opposed it because it is immorally indefensible.
While Orange County Executive Stephen Newhouse has opposed the facility, Newhouse is responsible for the ICE agreement with the Orange County Jail. The jail currently serves as an immigration detention facility and has faced significant criticism for inadequate and systemic medical treatment of detained individuals. Orange County legislator and Democratic caucus leader Genesis Ramos introduced the resolution in January. She says unanimous bipartisan support shows that opposing an ICE facility in Chester transcends ideological differences.
While we as county government are not the decision makers behind this, the ultimate decision makers behind this, it is important that we send a strong and loud message to the federal government that we do not want an inhumane ICE facility in our backyard. And so this is really to make the position of the legislature clear that we don't welcome this facility in our backyard.
Orange County Legislature Chairwoman Lori Tautel said the county has been flooded with emails regarding the facility.
We have had over 400 emails sent to the legislative clerk. Unprecedented to have that many responses sent on a single item, even for an agenda in totality. They are opposing the facility. They want nothing to do with an ICE facility here in Orange County and in Chester.
NAACP Middletown President Cindy Lee Dorsley says she's been carrying around her passport out of fear of ICE in her neighborhood.
I've been here for 36 years, and I've been a citizen for, like 20? But I'm still carrying it around. I'm forcing my husband to carry his. He's a Haitian immigrant, but he's a citizen. My son, who was born here, I'm like, carry your passport. I'm like losing my mind because, and this is the type of thing that people are dealing with every single day.
The Department of Homeland Security has purchased several warehouses already in 2026 in Pennsylvania, Arizona, and Maryland. In Goshen, I'm Kimberly Izar for Radio Catskill.
We'll keep you posted on that story. Now, it's Friday, and we're joined by Dan Hoos from Sullivan County Government, who joins us every Friday. Hello, Dan.
Good morning.
Brought along a special guest as well. We've got Sullivan County Clerk Russell Reeves on the phone. Mr. Reeves, good morning. You're here to talk to us about what's going on at the DMV in Monticello. It's been closed for a couple of days now. What's been happening there? Why has it been closed?
This is day three, which I can't believe, but for 3 days now, Spectrum has left us hanging with no service. So we had no warning whatsoever 3 days ago that we were not going to have any service. And we've called repeatedly on the phone. We cannot get service to the Monticello DMV. Apparently, our office is the only office that is having this problem with Spectrum, and we cannot get internet. And my people cannot get in here, and we cannot service the people, which is, I have to tell you, it's infuriating because it's very important for people to get through their lives with their IDs and their vehicles, and it's very important. And it's we're stuck in the water here.
And in the Monticello DMV, the main DMV for the county, how impactful is this for folks and for you guys there?
It's tremendously impactful. Aside from the revenue issue, it's if you think about our daily lives, how important it is for our area to be able to drive a car, have a vehicle, have transportation, go to the doctor, need your ID to travel, go to the bank, open a bank account. Without your ID, you really are in trouble. So our hands are tied. And this company is, I can get nowhere with the company. I've reached out to some of our, I've reached out to our assemblywoman and various people. So maybe the public will have better luck, start calling Spectrum and saying what's going on. But our DMV right now is closed due to Spectrum. I have set up my mobile unit. So we do have a mobile unit that travels around. I've set that up. Our IT department was very accommodating and very helpful. So we're able to get a temporary situation where I have two stations open, but I normally have 8-10 stations going and I'm down to two. So we're doing whatever emergency situations we can, but that's the current situation. So I have to tell you, the people of Sullivan County are great. I love where I live and the people are great and their patience has been phenomenal, but it's not fair to the people of Sullivan County to be put through this by this company.
A three-day disruption at any time of the year is not good, but this couldn't come at a worse time for the DMV because the state DMV offices, including yours, are going to be closing on the 13th coming up for about, what, 3-4 days there as a part of a reboot of the system?
That is correct. So this is the precursor to the state shutting us down for at least 3 days, and we're a complete software upgrade, which is necessary. But we've been working on that for weeks leading up to that. But we're trying to get people through with their transactions for that 3-day shutdown. And this is a terrible time for this to happen. That is correct.
What's your advice to the public right now in terms of dealing with DMV and trying to get some things processed during this this closure?
Currently, right now, you can go online. If you have to do a standard renewal, you can go online. And you can do your standard renewals, and anything you can do online is still working, and you can do those transactions. If you have an emergency situation, reach out to us, and we'll get you through somehow if it's an emergency situation. Meaning if you're traveling or you need your car to get to the doctor, or you need your car to transfer somebody elderly, or you've got to get to the hospital in the city because somebody, a dear one, is there. If you need something along those lines, reach out, and we'll get you through. Or we'll get you to another DMV or a state DMV that can hopefully take care of it. I've reached out to my liaison up in Albany. So you can be rest assured I am doing everything humanly possible on our end. And again, this company has left us hanging.
Yeah, 10 a.m. on Friday and still no response from Spectrum.
We have apparently we've called them and they said we're working on it, but that's been the 3-day story. And there is somebody here from Spectrum, but amazingly enough, they weren't here for DMV. They were here for another problem somewhere else, so we grabbed them. So we're remaining hopeful, and hopefully they can get us up and running. But if somebody out there in your audience has any contacts with anybody, I welcome a call on our behalf.
That's Sullivan County Clerk Russell Reeves. Mr. Reeves, thanks for joining us, and we hope this gets resolved soon. We appreciate you bringing that information to us.
And thank you for getting the word out. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Dan, it's such a frustrating time for folks when they're in the office, DMV, for Mr. Reeves and the team there trying to process these things, but then also for listeners who are hearing what Mr. Reeves is going through, what the county clerk is going through. A lot of people are in the same position sometimes when they're dealing with some of these companies like that.
We've heard this many times before. And it's why it's important to have competition and choice, I think, which the county will be providing to broadband service later this year. I don't know if we'll be able to tap into that at DMV. Some people have asked, well, why couldn't you switch to, because the county itself's on a different system than Spectrum, why couldn't you just switch over to that? But the state DMV has very sensitive documents and things that are passing through, and it's not just a switchover thing. You can't just snap your
fingers.
There's
a state contract with DMV.
Yeah, and the state has to approve different things. And so, of course, every day we were being told that, okay, it'll be probably up the very next day. So, yeah, at this point, though, as you can hear, the county clerk is not a happy camper.
Yeah. Good to hear, though, people are being patient. People are understanding. But, yeah, 3 days in a row.
We've all been through it.
Yeah. let's talk about the extreme cold. There's an extreme cold warning that's going to affect this evening through tomorrow throughout the entire region and through our listening area here in Sullivan County. That is causing some warming center hours to get expanded.
Yeah. According to the Weather Service, we are going to be seeing the worst of it more than any other region. They've put up, and I put it on our Facebook page, they put up a listing showing everywhere from Rome and Utica and Syracuse to Honesdale to Hazleton. Lucky us. We are in the worst of it. We have the highest wind gusts that they're talking about, and thus that's going to lead to and this is minimum wind chill forecasts, not the maximum, of as much as minus 28 degrees early Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. That is brutally cold, colder than anything we've experienced this season. So we've worked with our partners at our warming centers, and they are going to be staffing them continuously from 8 p.m. tonight to 8 a.m. Monday morning. That's at the St. John's Episcopal Church on St. John Street in Monticello and at the United Methodist Church on North Main Street in Liberty. Those will be open continuously from 8 p.m. tonight till 8 a.m. Monday morning. And of course, if people can't make it there or have other emergencies, including life-threatening emergencies, give a call to 911. Because over the weekend, like, you could call 292-0100. I think we have an answering service with that. But if it's really serious, and it probably will be if it's that cold, just call 911.
And when you talk about those winds, they're looking at winds between 30 and 40 miles an hour tonight through tomorrow and into the morning on Sunday. But the worst of it, tonight and into tomorrow. Also getting some light snow tonight, overnight, up to 3 inches. But those wind chills could range from, you know, minus 20 to almost minus 40 degrees, depending on where you are. Of course, folks are urging residents to dress in layers, you know, including hats, face coverings, gloves, if you have to go outside. Limit your time outdoors whenever possible. Keep your pets inside and take steps to prevent frozen pipes as well. Again, this is serious.
This is very serious.
We're talking to Dan Hoos from Sullivan County Government. He joins us every Friday. And one of the other things we want to talk about is we're talking about cold. We're talking about winter. We're talking about energy. The state, New York State, has expanded their energy affordability program. Give folks a little bit more detail on that.
Sure. The original Energy Affordability Program, the EAP, has been in place since 2016, and that is to provide financial relief to low-income New Yorkers by reducing their monthly electric or gas bills. You get a discount, and it varies with your utility provider. But all our utilities, NYSEG, Central Hudson, Orange and Rockland, they all participate here in Sullivan County. If you're listening in Pennsylvania, sorry, I don't know what Pennsylvania offers. But New York provides this to people who are already receiving state and federal benefits, like if you're on the HEAP program or SNAP program or temporary assistance, that kind of thing, then you're eligible for that. However, there's a lot of people who aren't much higher in income that don't qualify for the benefit programs. So the state last month rolled out this Enhanced Energy Affordability Program, the EEAP, the EEAP. And that is open to anyone who meets just an income threshold. No benefits necessary, anything. For example, if you're a one-person household and you're making beneath approximately $69,500, you're eligible for this discount program. And it goes up from there. We have information online about, and I think you guys have published it as well, as to how to go about applying for that. If you're in regular EAP, the one that's been around for a while, and you want to inquire or apply for that, you need to go through your utility. However, if you're looking to apply for EEAP, all you have to do is go to NYEEAP.com. That's NYEEAP.com, and you can apply there no matter what utility you're with.
And that's also up on our website, WJFFradio.org. Also want to mention that there are warming center information for Sullivan as well as surrounding counties in our listening area at WJFFradio.org. And while we're talking about cold weather, there was that point in time count that happened last week. Let's remind folks what that was, and what did you discover as you were out talking to folks who are, you know, out in the cold, unhoused?
Yeah. This is established annually by the Federal Housing Division of Housing and Urban Development, HUD. And we had many volunteers join our social services team, Action Towards Independence, SALT, Rehabilitative Support Services. It was our most active PIT count, point in time, P-I-T, yet across the county. We were mostly in the Fallsburg, Liberty, and Monticello area to seek out anyone staying outside in the cold. It's to understand the homeless situation in the county that may be, for whatever reason, going unaddressed. And it was especially beneficial as it took place right before that awful winter storm that rolled through the area. This gave the teams a chance to assist people with Narcan kits, food, fresh clothing, even sleeping bags and tents that we were able to hand out. Because these are folks usually who are not interested or willing to find whatever help that they need. They're dealing with whatever personal issues, and we can't force them unless they are a danger to themselves or to other people. So we were better able to canvass the community. We found 15 people who were unsheltered. It was quite an increase over last year. We found just 4 people who were staying outside or in buildings considered unsafe for human habitation. So we did have space available for all 15 people that we encountered outside. But according to our county Health and Human Services Commissioner John Little, and I quote him, "Unfortunately, these persons were resistant to come inside because they were fearful of others in hotels and warming centers or because of ongoing drug use." Again, we can't force, we can't drag them in, but we were there to let them know, hey, we care about you. Here's sleeping bags, Narcan kits, whatever it is that you need. If you need more stuff, we're ready to help. You just need to let us know. So
we'll take a break and back with more from Dan Hoost from Sullivan County Government. This is Radio Chatskill.
Support comes from Catskill Art Space in Livingston Manor, offering exhibitions, performances, screenings, and more, with long-term installations from James Turrell and Saul LeWitt. Open year-round. CatskillArtSpace.org.
So much British and Irish folk music is released every week that it can be hard to keep up, but I do my best. And next time on the Bagelot of Monkeys with me, Graham Rice, here on Radio Catskill, we'll hear a whole hour of recently released music, from the big names to the newcomers. So please join me for new British and Irish folk music on Sunday afternoon at 3.
Thank you. On This Old House Radio Hour, if your home smells like smoke, we'll tell you how to fix it.
It really comes down to what type of smoke that you're dealing with. If it is cigarette smoke or cannabis, you're going to see staining.
Plus, Lewis Black on ping pong, politics, and the house that made him really angry. That's this week on This Old House Radio Hour.
Sunday morning at 7 on Radio Catskill.
You're listening to Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno, and Dan Hoost from Sullivan County Government is here, as he is every Friday. The legislature met yesterday, a couple of reports and resolutions. One of them is involving animal cruelty. Talk a little bit about what that resolution was.
Yeah, this is a resolution that they had passed to encourage the state legislature to pass legislation to change the aggravated cruelty to animals statute, switch it over from the agriculture and markets law to the penal law of the state, which would make it a Class E violent felony offense under the penal law, which it isn't currently, which I was surprised to find out that it wasn't. I thought it was. But yes, that probably just goes back years and years to being under ag and markets because, you know, that was considered an agricultural potential issue. Not saying anything bad about farmers, by the way. They want that to change to a Class E violent felony offense rather than what it currently is, which I think is a misdemeanor.
There was a report on a Liberty woman charged with animal cruelty after a dog found dead in the village there. Again, this is more widespread than folks would like to believe.
Right.
And so they're asking the state to change that and prosecute folks appropriately.
Yep. I don't know how good the chance is, but the resolution is now going to be sent to the state to say, listen, Sullivan County supports this.
Also, the legislature got a report from the 911 team there. What did they report for 2025? How many dispatches and how does that compare to previous years?
More than 50,000 dispatches. Wow. Yes, it goes up every year. So of that, it was a 16% increase in dispatch activity from 2024. The largest contributor, actually, it's good news, was the addition of the county EMS fly car program. Because we were able to dispatch more effectively and efficiently to people. So we commend our team, too, of 911 dispatchers. They're what we call the first responders. There were just under 7,000 dispatches related to fire calls. There were 21,972 dispatches for EMS, but the top was 22,220 dispatches relating to law enforcement. So although I think some of these could be overlapping where law enforcement might have had to show up once EMS arrived or something like that. But it is something that our 911 center has efficiently absorbed that increase. And I'm sure they're ready to absorb possibly even more of an increase. We continue to be a county growing in population. And that just means there's going to be more incidents for our 911 folks to handle.
So that's what you're getting, gleaning from this, that's what these numbers tell you a little bit more. It doesn't necessarily correlate with crime or a rise in any kind of other type of activity. It's more people, more calls.
Yeah, more people, more calls. It's as simple as that. And of course, we, like I said, now have that EMS fly car program too. So, and as that becomes better known and more utilized, I think success will build upon, the numbers will build upon that success. And listen, we want to be there for people when they need us.
Let's talk about elections. Never too early to talk about elections. It's coming up. And if you're looking for the perfect Valentine's Day gift, the Board of Elections has it.
All right, don't take that advice from Tim Bruno. It's not the perfect Valentine's Day gift, or maybe to yourself, I suppose. But yeah, sure. Tell the one you love. Hey, let's go to the Board of Elections. So listen, our folks there just want, our commissioners want you to know that the last day for the board to receive a change of enrollment by mail or in person for the June primary is Valentine's Day, February 14th. And that's party enrollment. So that enrollment changes sent by mail, by the way, must be received by the 14th, not postmarked by that date. And of course, these days with the post office, just because you mailed out something a certain day doesn't mean it gets postmarked that date either. So do not wait to the last minute if you're going to mail that in. The board will be open from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. on Saturday the 14th to receive these change of enrollments. So they're going to be working an extra day. The rest of us will be off just to make sure that they can accommodate the voters. And this is what our Board of Elections does.
And that's just to change, if you want to change your party enrollment. If you don't, you don't have to do
anything. You don't have to worry about it. Nope. But the June 23rd primary seems far away, but there are deadlines coming up very fast on that.
And if you don't want to change, then you could just, you know, get a box of chocolates or flowers or something.
Even if you do want to change, I would say if you have somebody in your life, the box of chocolates, the flowers, something might be apropos.
I don't know. Thinking outside the box here.
The chocolate box.
Let's talk about some as we're looking ahead to things, let's look ahead to warmer weather. Again, we mentioned this last week, but the lifeguard courses starting soon, next month.
Yes. Yeah. I just like to mention that because it makes you feel like, oh, yeah, there will be swimming again one day outdoors. So, and we need all the lifeguards we can get, not just the county, the towns, the villages, some businesses will need lifeguards. Our own assistant recreation director, Fiona Feltman, is certified to provide these courses. So she will be starting them in March at the indoor pool at Fallsburg High School. The pricing is very nominal, especially if you're just getting a recertification. You'll also get certified for CPR, AED, professional rescuers, bloodborne pathogens training. All you have to do find out more is give a call to Fiona at 845-807-0287. That's 807-0287. Or go to sullivanny.gov. We have the whole list of the courses there.
And coming up, some office closures. We want to mention again, the county office is closed, and then those DMV scheduled closures because of the state upgrade. So let's go walk folks through those.
Yeah, for clarity's sake, let me first say county offices, all county offices, county government offices will be closed this Thursday, February 12th for Lincoln's birthday, and then the following Monday, which is the 16th, for the President's Day holiday. So those 2 days, all county offices will be closed, including DMV. However, for this major DMV transition, our DMV office will also be closed Friday the 13th, Tuesday the 17th, and Wednesday the 18th. Those days, all other county offices will be open, but DMV will not be. And just to remind people, all DMV offices throughout the state, all online DMV services, you can't even make a phone call to the DMV between Friday the 13th and Tuesday the 17th for this major transition that all the state DMV offices are going to.
No matter where you live, in New York, that's what's happening in New York for state DMV.
Prepare accordingly.
Yes. And then, of course, we heard from County Clerk Russell Reeves a little earlier about the issue they're having in Sullivan County right now at the Monticello DMV, closed for a third straight day due to some issues with Spectrum service.
Yes.
Also, want to remind folks again about the extreme cold. The county warming centers are having expanded hours.
Yep.
You can find a full list of warming centers throughout the region at our website as well, wjffradio.org. We had previewed the dog named Gidget, named Gidget. I mean, we love her, but, you know, she's taken on Punxsutawney Phil. And I said that I think all of the animals were in cahoots.
I think
they
too.
All predicted more winter.
Uh-huh. Well, they've got fur. What do they care, you know? So us mostly hairless human beings here, you know, compared to the furry animals, they just want their food from us. So, she agreed with Punxsutawney Phil. Actually, Punxsutawney Phil agreed with her because she was first. She was first. And the video's on our Facebook page if you want to see. It was a hilarious moment where she had to choose between the scroll that said early spring or the scroll that said 6 more weeks of winter. She picked 6 more weeks of winter, just like Phil did the very next morning. And I'm feeling it still.
That video got a lot of views. Folks were very interested in that.
Yeah, well, it's just fun. It's happy. It at least adds a little bit of humor to what sometimes feels like a very humorless winter. My goodness, old man winter is really hitting us upside the head.
Maybe bring Gidget to those legislature meetings.
Yeah, right.
increased engagement.
Yeah, probably would.
Dan Hoost from Sullivan County Government, thank you so much. Stay warm. We'll talk to you next week.
You too.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, it's the latest episode of Curtain Call, our theater podcast. Tom Candela is here with a preview. This is Radio Chatskill.
So here's the deal. Public radio is now operating without federal funding, and your support matters more than ever. One way to help is to donate that car, truck, or old motorcycle in your driveway. You clear out some space and help keep trusted news coverage alive in your community. The process? Simple, free, even tax deductible. Just head to this station's website and help us keep this work going together.
Donate your car, boat, or motorcycle at wjffradio.org.
So Brett was standing on a subway platform, sees a stranger walking from person to person, saying to each one, "You, you're in. You, out. You, you can stay." The guy's not violent, doesn't make anybody actually leave, but silly as it sounds,
I found that you can't help but kind of hope that he gives you the thumbs up when your turn comes.
That and other stories about the kindness of strangers this week on This American Life.
This American Life, Saturday night at 6 on Radio Catskill.
You're listening to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. And every Friday on WJFFradio.org, the new episode of Curtain Call, the podcast about theater drops. Tom Candela is the host and producer, and he's here to tell us what we can expect with a preview. Hi,
yes,
Tom.
Good morning, Tim. It's another cold morning.
It's going to get colder. What do we warm us up? What do we have on Curtain Call?
Yeah, so this week I spoke with a young lady named Willow Houseman. Now, she is a producer, director. She started a company called the Tivoli Players and out in Tivoli, New York, as well as Gryphon Pictures. But she is putting together a new production of the musical Hair. It's going to open later on in the summer, 2026, at the Birdcliff Theater in Woodstock, New York. And we talked a lot about her casting, community, and her new spin on this, you know, classic musical comedy theater piece.
Such a classic. Yeah. Did she talk to you about like why she wanted to tackle a classic?
Absolutely. She did talk about that. You're going to hear a lot about that on the podcast when you go to wjffradio.org to download it. But yes, we talk a lot about why she chose this production, talk a lot about her vision for it, and how she's casting it. So casting starts the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, these things, you know, you mentioned it's premiering later this summer, year, but these things take a while to get these done, especially if you're reimagining it, then the casting and the production and the sets and all that.
Getting the cast together. And, you know, it's a very, it's a big singing show, you know, and you really have to have some good vocal chops, you know, to sing through this musical. But she's looking for that cast now. And she's casting in New York City as well as up in the Tivoli area, the community.
All right. It's the latest episode of Curtain Call. The full episode is at wjffradio.org. But let's get a preview right now.
Okay.
Tom Candela, thanks.
Thank you, Tim. On today's episode, it's going to center on a musical that has never been content to sit quietly in history. My guest is director Willow Houseman, a theater and film artist who has worked everywhere from backstage to the camera lens, from casting rooms to rehearsal halls, who brings this wide angle experience, you see what I did there, wide angle, to a new production of Hair. And it's opening this summer, 2026, at the Birdcliff Theater in Woodstock, New York. Now, Willow is the founder of the Tivoli Players and Gryphon Pictures, a creative production company dedicated to helping artists bring bold, imaginative projects to life. Willow, welcome to Curtain Call.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
A lot of people, they think they really know Hair. Have you seen it maybe in its original form back in the 1960s? What assumptions about the show did you personally have to let go in order to really engage with it once again?
I had always kind of just thought of the show as sort of this very hippie-oriented, like free love, like it was just kind of about the drugs and the sexual aspect and the Vietnam War. But what happened was I was looking for a musical to direct, and I started to listen to the music from Hair, and I was just blown away by, one, the humor. And because I'd never thought of it as funny, and there's actually a lot of tongue-in-cheek humor in the show. And also, I was really taken aback with how modern a lot of the messages are, like the freedom of different sexual genres, which is so kind of in vogue with all of our teens right now. Like, that's really focused on in Hair. And then the political activism part of it seemed just so prevalent to what we're going through right now with such a chaotic sort of situation in our government. And also the consciousness part of Hair, about being conscious of who you are. But when I started to look at all of the things that were awakened in that generation, I mean, women's rights, right, racial rights, consciousness, like all of our present day movements. And yeah, then there was also the political protesting, the involvement with having a say in what happens. And the other thing that was so fascinating to me, which I'd never imagined until I really explored Hair, was it's actually very pro-American. It's like super patriotic, and it's supporting the idea that America is a place where we can find freedom to express and we can be who we are as an individual without repression.
You spoke about a lot of the cultural aspects that were happening at that time. So this was, the play premiered in 1968 on Broadway. So we can assume somewhere in the maybe 66 or somewhere around there is when they were working on this show. That was right in the middle of the Vietnam War. That was right in the middle of the civil rights movement. Feminism was revealing itself and women's rights. That was all happening at this time period. And the show does reflect that. And like then, the youth today are leading the way in a lot of that.
Yes.
You know,
so it's a real recurrence of this kind of power.
Yeah.
In the youth.
So this is kind of apropos timing on your part.
Yes.
For this show. Now, was that intentional? Did you sit back and say, what can I say about what's going on right now? What show would tell me that?
And so really, I have to be honest, it really wasn't at the beginning. At the beginning of my journey, it was really the music that pulled me in immediately. And partly that's the lyrics, but I have to say that it was Galt McDermott who composed the score that really just resonated. To me, he's really like the backbone of what makes Hair what it is. So it was listening to the music, and then I started to realize, wow, this is still so relevant to where we are now. And when I would bring it up to people, kind of a general response was always, oh, it's such a great time to do that musical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're taking it to a new level. You're keeping with that 60s spirit, but you're also adding sort of like a punk rock energy and some contemporary visuals. So what does that balance look like to you? How do you?
Well, it's that? Like for, well, one easy focus is like on the hair. Like I'm going to have like mohawks and colored hair and like all kinds of crazy, like different hair of expression.
Neat.
And I'm also going to have a few non-binary people and people who are kind of flexible in how they present themselves as male or female. Mm-hmm. And I really want to focus on the tribe. There's 15 tribe members that do a lot of the background and dance, but I want to really develop their characters. Like each one will have a very, very specific character instead of just being this ensemble, kind of a general ensemble. Also, there's such a sense of community within the characters in Hair that the costumes will tie together so that they're tied together as a tribe. Want to stay true to the spirit, definitely, but bring in something that's relatable to today. So young ones could come see it today and be like, oh, that's cool, or wow, that was wild. And so that they're also inspired. That's what my goal is.
You say the tribe unites. What do you mean by that?
Well, the tribe really represents community, which is just so important. It just, as we come together as a community, as opposed to just only focusing on one person, just my needs. I come together as a strong individual with others, and I also focus on their needs. So the tribe unites. I feel like that statement not only is about the tribe on stage coming together as kind of a collective, like even with their dancing and being in a circle and coming together, but it's also that the tribe unites the people who are watching the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's meant to bring in the audience in and transform them, bring consciousness to them, bring awareness, bring fun,
mm-hmm.
bring smiles, bring thought, bring pondering. The tribe unites everybody together to do those things in a very clear way.
So do you have a way that you're thinking of directorial-wise of including the audience as the tribe?
Well, the theater that I'm doing it at the Birdcliff would make that rather easy because they're sitting on the same plane as the players.
Okay.
One thing I'm definitely going to do is when people are arriving at the theater, some of the tribe will be like outside, like smoking a joint, playing the guitar, very subtle
cool.
and very real. Like one person will be napping like on a bench
uh-huh.
when people are like arriving. And then we'll have like a long, sleeky gal sitting on the stairs, kind of looking at everybody with some flowers. And
love it.
But the flowers will be kind of like psychedelic, bright colors. Yeah. So I'm going to have like some of the tribe will be part of the audience
right.
too.
I like that idea of stepping into the theater and the show's already begun, characters already engaging and interacting with audience members as they're coming into the theater or as they're
in
the lobby.
They'll be outside.
Yeah,
too.
Or as they're getting their tickets at the box office.
Smoking a joint and playing like a bongo drum
cool.
out there.
And then
the other, like I said, I'm still exploring some of this, but now you got me thinking like, at the end, like it'll be like maybe a big hangout time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like with the tribe.
Sit in. You can have a sit in with music and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, I think cool. that would be great.
Yeah.
Like, I think we should finish with that. Like that would be part of it. Like
Nate.
Hang
Nate.
Out.
Yeah, get the audience involved as much as possible. I think they would really love that. And that's a good way to engage and transform, as you were talking about.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned blending Hudson Valley performers with artists from New York City. Why is that mix important to you?
Well, for a few reasons. One is that New York City does have some pretty amazing triple threat.
Yeah.
I need some very, very strong performers to pull this off. Yeah. Now, there's a lot of talent up here as well.
Sure.
And I want to incorporate locals. And I even want to give people a chance to be part of the tribe that aren't as experienced. As long as they can move and they have a lot of energy
mm-hmm.
and they can harmonize. So what I'm going to do at the auditions is I'm going to ask for them to sing a song from the show,
mm-hmm.
their choice. I'm going to ask them to do a 3 to 5 minute monologue portraying somebody from the 60s or 70s, like either written in the 60s or 70s
mm-hmm.
or portraying someone from that time. And then I'm also going to have them at the initial audition do a wild dance to a song from the 60s of my choice. They're going to have to just do a free form dance. I like people who are very real, very natural. The one thing that everybody, like so many people, just focus on that there are people that are naked in hair. And if you want to be naked, that's great. If you don't, you don't have to. But what you do have to have is an being okay with physical contact with other performers, because
mm-hmm.
that has to happen in hair. There's a lot of touching. Well, there will
yeah.
be.
It's
yeah. a type of dance style that I'm going for that actually does have physical contact, so.
Mm-hmm.
But I want someone who's going to enjoy the process and the fun of it.
How do they contact you? How do they get an audition?
That would be wonderful, because
yeah.
the auditions in New York City are the third week of February, and the auditions up in the Hudson Valley will be the first week of March.
Okay.
And they could send me a resume and headshot. They can send it to my email,
okay.
which is griffinpictures@gmail.com.
Okay.
So it's spelled GRYPHON pictures. Yeah. Or they can also find the Tivoli Players on Facebook and Instagram.
Right.
And they could contact me there to get the information.
That is a preview of Curtain Call, our theater podcast. The full episode and all of the episodes are available at our website, wjffradio.org. Coming up, Headwaters Arts Center is rolling out winter workshops, a film series, and a new exhibit opening on Valentine's weekend. We'll hear what's ahead next. This is Radio Chatskill.
On last week's Wait, Wait, Nagin Farsad gave you the kind of expert analysis of the upcoming Winter Olympics that only we can provide.
Famously, Luge is very bisexual.
All right, wait a minute. I was about to say.
I'm Peter Sagal. Join us as we deliver the same kind of insights about the Super Bowl, and we talk to the nation's favorite librarian about what book to read instead of watching it. That's on this week's Wait, Wait from NPR.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Sunday morning at 10 on Radio Catskill.
I'm Kimberly Izar, host of Farming Country. This week, Catskill Mountain Keeper turns 20 years old this year. We chat with Mountain Keeper's program manager, Taylor Jaffe, about what's next for the organization. Plus, Wall and Popak Brewery in Holly, Pennsylvania, was crowned Best Brewery of 2025 by Beer Connoisseur. That's this week on Farming Country, Saturday morning at 10 on Radio Catskill.
This is Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. This month, Headwaters Arts Center in Stamford is giving people plenty of reasons to get out of the house and into some creative spaces, from winter workshops and a film series to a new exhibit opening on Valentine's weekend. Kristen Stevenson, got it, is the program director at Headwaters, and she spoke with culture reporter Valerie Manzi about what's in store.
Good morning. This is Valerie with Radio Chatskill. And today we are going to be hearing about an event coming up at Headwaters Arts Center in Stamford, New York, which is an arm of the Roxbury Arts Group. And we will be speaking with Kristen Stevenson, who is the program director up there in Stamford. Welcome.
Thank you, Valerie. It's good to speak with you.
Let's start with the exhibit that's opening on February 14th.
Yes. So To Build a Home is an exhibition of artwork by three artists, Maeve McCool, Catherine Trazik, and Polly Schindler. And it's basically an exhibition of artwork exploring the intimate architecture of what we call home. So Catherine Trazik has very architectural pieces. She does printmaking and woodblock carving of buildings. Polly Schindler creates paintings of interior spaces. So we have bedrooms and even bathrooms. And Maeve McCool will be installing a work that includes photographs and found objects, sketches, and other ephemera, all kind of looking at different aspects of what builds a home, kind of relationships that create a refuge and buildings that are a haven, objects that are sacred.
And each of these artists have a very different interpretation to share. All of them very interesting from what I could say.
Yes. I agree. Yes, very different. Looking at all different aspects of this kind of intimate space, and as well as structure, the physical structure of a home.
And how did this particular exhibit come about?
We get a lot of proposals from artists, and we find artists that we're interested in. We have a list that we're continually looking at, and we like to find artists that have similar things about their work, that are working on similar ideas, even if the presentation is very different, as is the case in this exhibit. So we kind of pulled all of these different artists together and thought about home a little bit. We're thinking a lot about safety and home and comfort at this moment. It just seemed like an appropriate time for these artists.
Yes, especially in this particularly cold winter season.
Indeed.
Yes. We are really grateful for our homes, I must say.
It's structures are really helpful right now, for sure.
Now, I see you have a number of other very interesting events coming up there at Headwaters in Stamford. Can you tell us a little bit about some of those?
Yes. My favorite one at the moment is Art for Wellness, and that is new for this year. It's a wintertime program only, and kind of designed it with the idea in mind, kind of preventing winter isolation. I think it becomes really easy just to stay closed up in your cozy home, and it can impact our moods. So Art for Wellness basically brings in creative activities along with some mindfulness activities and making this community. We're meeting up every Wednesday night from 6 to 7:30 and doing a different activity. This week we are doing abstract black and white paintings that explore shape and value, but also as a way of kind of opening ourselves up to just expressing what it is we feel.
And how long into the season does Art for Wellness go?
It goes until April, the second week of April.
What else is coming up?
We also have every couple of weeks at Headwaters Art Center, we'll be playing a film, featuring a film that is free. We have Princess Bride coming up on the 13th, Friday the 13th. And that is something that we're all very, very excited about.
That's a Rob Reiner film, correct?
Yes, it is, yeah. Mm-hmm. We also have Make and Play, which is a new version of our old baby group. Make and Play now is designed for preschoolers and toddlers, so children under five, you know, explore creativity through sensory play. There'll be makerspace opportunities, so children will be able to make things from bits of cardboard and other kinds of trash, I suppose you could say. Lots of fun stuff.
Well, you have a lot of activities to help deal with the winter blues, that's for sure.
Yes, that's the idea.
Is there anything else you'd like to add before we finish?
We do have Maeve McCool, who's one of the exhibiting artists, planning to do some workshops coming up. Our first workshop of the year will be Ukrainian egg painting on Saturday, the 7th of March. And we're really excited about that. We've got a really good teaching artist coming in who's had experience doing Paisenki, I think it's called, for a number of years. And she's going to show us how to decorate eggs. And then, of course, Maeve McCool will be doing some various courses throughout the time that her exhibition is on. So we're getting close to coming into our workshop series as well. So you'll start to see some really interesting things coming up on the website and on Facebook.
And the website is?
It is roxburyartsgroup.org.
And you'll look for what's going on up at Headwaters.
Yeah, well, so at the top, there's a menu, and you can look at experience. And underneath that menu, there are exhibitions or performances and events, workshops. And that's how you would find us. We just list them all together.
Okay, well, thank you for taking the time out of your very busy schedule to share all of this with us.
Well, thanks for chatting. This is great.
You're welcome.
It's been lovely talking to you.
And thanks to culture reporter Valerie Manzi for that. Also, if you're looking for things to do, you can always check out our community calendar. It's at wjffradio.org. That's all for this edition of Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Thanks for listening.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Tavern on Main, where modern American cuisine meets classic favorites. Dinner, weekend brunch, craft cocktails, and warm hospitality on Main Street in Jeffersonville. More at tavernonmainny.com.
This week on Cat's Cast, road salt is a tempting treat for our North American porcupines, but it can be a deadly one.
The salt impregnates all of the deadwood by the side, all the twigs, and of course when they go down to the highway, the cars kill them.
Plus, a Catskill connection to a famous Western artist.
To be out in nature and sketch and paint there was really important to him.
Saturday at 11 a.m. right here on Radio Catskill.
You're listening to Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR. Now, that extreme cold warning goes into effect late tonight through the weekend. We might see an inch of snow this afternoon and into the evening. The roads could become slippery during the evening commute. Tonight's low 5. By tomorrow morning, we might see a few more inches of snow. And again, dangerously cold and strong winds. Tomorrow's high 8. The low tomorrow night, the forecast low, not the wind chills, the actual forecast low, minus 13. The high 9. And Sunday night's low, minus 8. Again, frigid. Don't go out if you don't have to. And take precautions if traveling.
WJFF Jeffersonville, streaming online at WJFFradio.org. This is Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR.